Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Who is it? Oh, I'm sorry. Did we wake you?
No. You didn't.
I've been up for hours.
It's time to get up.
Get up, Bambi. Get up.
Hey, I don't make the rules.
You must get up. Get up. Get up.
But while you're here, you might as well keep listening. You're tuned in to Lou Manfredini and the Mr. Fix-It Show right here on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
It's already time for a break, Mike Steven. Hi, everybody. Lou Manfredini here, the Mr. Fix-It Show on 720 WGN. 7:14 in the morning, this hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show, sponsored by Ace Hardware and by Fox Home Center. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Good morning, Sam. Good morning, Lindsay.
Morning.
Shwani, I know, got up, but good morning again to Shwani. Nice to see you all. Hey, we have an interesting show today. We're going to take your calls at 312-981-7200. But we also are going to, throughout the show today, talk to different representatives from some of the labor unions that are private unions in the construction field that are in the Chicagoland area, and talk about careers in these particular trades. Now, for those of you that have listened to me for a long time, you know that I grew up in the trades. I was a union carpenter for a brief period of time myself. And I am a proponent of the trades. And I think it's a great way to make a living, a good living, with learning a specific trade to be able to help build roads, build buildings, build homes, maintain them, all of that. And I have always believed that the best training comes from these trade unions that are in Chicago, in New York, in L.A., you name it. And so today's show is going to be dedicated to talking to these little these different unions about the opportunities that exist, what the kind of work is, what's involved. And I think that if you know someone, or you may be someone that is interested in this, or maybe you have a young person in your life that's looking for a career, give an idea of the different trades we're going to talk to. Coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to talk to someone from the Sheet Metal Workers Union, Local 265. Then a little bit later on this morning, Local 130, which is the Plumbers Union. Then the Chicago Regional Council of Carpenters. And then our last interview is going to be Local 281, which is the Sprinkler Fitters, to talk about all the different opportunities that exist within these trades and how the unions can help get you trained and get you on the pathway to a long, fruitful career in skilled labor, which I think is awesome. I really do think it's awesome. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Let's get a call in here first, so we can catch up, and then we can get to our first interview. Scott's in DeKalb. Scott, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Lou. Hey, amen on the trade thing. It's not advertised enough. I went the other way. I got a PhD in chemistry, but looking back, I wish I would have really explored that, because it's and if my guidance counselor would have said, "Hey, you're good with your hands and stuff," I might have done it. You know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So amen for that.
That's great. How can I help you, sir?
So I got a problem. I live in a Victorian house built in the late 1800s, fieldstone foundation, mm-hmm. all really structurally sound, except for there's two corners of the house where there is some seepage in the corners when it in weird situations, like this time of year when it's thawing and the roof
right.
and dripping. Right. It can rain. I have permits to allow, so they put bubbler pots and the gutters are good. So it can rain in a thunderstorm, but this time of year we get seepage. And I can see that there's mortar missing. So I want to do it myself. So a couple of questions. It's below grade, so what kind of mortar would I use? Let me ask you, should I do it myself?
No. I mean, I think that, you know, the problem, I'm sure that when you had the PermaSeal guys come out, they said to you that with that Fieldstone foundation, your only option is really to control the moisture, and they probably talked about some perimeter drain tile. Did they?
Yeah, correct.
Right.
Yep.
And so, because there's so many seams and the irregularity of the field stone, it's very difficult to keep the water out. Here's what I would do if you're going to try this yourself. Yep. And it's not that difficult. In the areas where you see the field stone in the mortars gone, remove it all. Okay, so try and really clean it out. Use a...
like a Dremel, or what would you use?
A Dremel would be great, or you can probably pop it out with a screwdriver and then use a wire brush to clean it all up and get rid of as much of the dust and debris that's in there. Then I want you to buy a couple containers of hydraulic cement.
Okay.
The hydraulic cement has water repellency capabilities that it will also bond between the field stone, but it'll also help to hold back a little bit of the moisture, more so than regular mortar.
Okay. Did that used to be called Portland cement?
No, Portland cement is an additive. Different. Hydraulic cement is a pre-mixed product that you're going to buy, and you're going to mix with water to a heavy pancake batter consistency.
Okay.
But what you got to know about this, Scott, is that it dries very quickly, and so you're going to work in small batches. Okay. Once you start applying it, once you've prepped an area, you've probably got, once you start putting it into the joint, you've got about a minute to work it all in, like you're grouting, and then finish it to a nice finish, and then move on to the next place. And then if you do that, I think you're going to see that you can control some of that moisture. And try and be as neat as possible with a little tuck pointing tool to kind of work it into the joints. And that will help give it some structural reinforcement, as well as help keep the moisture away as well. Thanks so much for the phone call. All right, it's 7:20 in the morning, quick break. And then when we come back, we're going to talk with Joe Carone, who's an instructor over at the Local 265 Sheet Metal Workers Union.
This is Nick Offerman. Now for some... This is Nick Offerman. Now back to some good, clean fun with Lou Manfredini on Chicago's very own 720 WD. Son of a... Now back to some good, clean fun with Lou Manfredini on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
In the morning. Good morning, Lou Manfredini here with you, the Mr. Fix-It Show. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. As I mentioned, on today's show, we're going to talk a little bit about the trades and what these different trades, these building trades, have to offer you, what these different organizations do to help people get trained in the industry, and also what a career can look like in one of these as well. And joining me on the phone line right now is Joe Carone. Joe's actually been on this radio show before without me. Joe is an instructor over at Local 265 Sheet Metal Workers Union. Joe, good morning. Thanks for being on with us on the Mr. Fix-It Show.
Good morning, Lou. Thanks for having me on.
You're a good man. Tell me a little bit about tell me and the audience, who and what is a sheet metal worker?
A sheet metal worker has many specialized areas. For instance, commercial buildings, we install the ductwork or the mechanical equipment that provides the heating, ventilation, and air conditioning to the building and its occupants. We could install fire dampers and maintain and inspect them to make sure the fire life safety aspect of your building is taken care of. We also repair all the heating and air conditioning equipment in commercial buildings. We'll install standing seam roofs, copper bay windows, copper flashing above bay windows. We could test and adjust balance the buildings so they run more efficiently, or any kind of welding. Residentially, we install the ductwork and the heating and air conditioning equipment. We repair, maintain, and inspect that equipment. And when it comes time to replace that equipment, we do replace the furnace and air conditioners in residential homes.
Got it.
Technology-wise, you know, we teach AutoCAD, Revit, building automation, so we're advanced on technology also.
About how many members do you have in Chicago?
We approximately have 1,800 members, 1,800.
And I think that, you know, that I you know, we'll talk about this throughout this, but the need for skilled labor has never been higher, correct?
Correct.
And so we're at this precipice right now where, you know, infrastructure spending and building, you know, the downturn that happened a few years ago kind of shied people away from this. But these are lifelong careers where we're not just talking about earning a living. We're talking about earning a living where you can raise a family and offer things that, you know, to your lifestyle that can really make a difference, because this skill that you're going to acquire is really special, in my opinion.
Yes, I like to consider it as a career, not a job. I love to go to work every day. I enjoy looking around the city and the suburbs, looking at buildings that I've actually performed service work or installed the heating and air conditioning in.
Right.
You have to have a desire to work hard. You get great benefits. You get a pension. You get health insurance, dental. You get the whole works with us.
All right. Take me through that process, because I think that for a lot of people, especially young people, right, that maybe need some direction and they're looking at that. If they're interested, and we're, as I mentioned, today we're going to talk to a lot of your brothers in the unions, in different unions today, because, you know, certainly it's the type of thing, Joe, right? You got to have some affinity towards it, like, you know, that you be that technology that you talk about within your industry is really something that that your members probably are more exposed to, say, than you know, than a carpenter might be. You know, they're not dealing with automation and things like that. But you're an 18-year-old kid, or is there an opportunity even for someone that wanted to change their career? Like, is there an age limit to becoming a member of the sheet metal workers?
Let's see. There is a great opportunity to become a sheet metal worker if you like to work with your hands. It's a very hands-on trade.
Right.
There's many career aspects you could get into, not only working in the field. You could also work in an office, working on a computer, actually drawing the mechanical ventilation for a building.
Okay, and so is it something that, so if someone likes working with their hands and they want to get into the sheet metal union and they want to explore that opportunity, how do they do that?
Well, we accept applications on the first Wednesday of every month.
Okay.
From 8 to 11. All you need to do is complete a application, a birth certificate, high school diploma, and driver's license.
Okay.
And we assigned you a test date, and you take an aptitude test.
Okay.
And once you take the aptitude test and pass, you get put on a list. And as the mechanical contractors need employees, they'll take your name off that list and find you a job.
All right. Now, you're on that list, and I'm gonna ask you a few more specific things. Is there an age requirement as it pertains to coming in and filling out an application? In other words, is it?
The application, you have to be a minimum of 17 years old.
How about top age?
Top age, I don't know off the top of my head.
Right, but I mean, if you're a 25-year-old person or a 28-year-old person, that's...
Oh, yeah. I have apprentices that are 42 years old.
You do? So,
yes.
Okay, so that,
yes.
If all of a sudden somebody's like, you know what, I want a career change, I want to do something, that an apprentice to come in and start at the age of 40 is not out of the realm.
No, definitely not.
Got it. Okay, now... You sign up for the apprentice program. You are selected by the union, right? Through the testing, you did really well on this test. What's that process? Like, what does the apprenticeship involve?
The apprenticeship involves, it's a 5-year apprenticeship. We have two career paths. You could be a sheet metal worker or a service technician. What that entails is that you come to school 1 week every 9 weeks, 5 times a year for 5 years. So the interesting thing about it is you're actually in school for 1 week, and then the 9 weeks that you're not in school, you actually work for a mechanical contractor.
So you're getting paid.
You're getting paid. and you're being mentored under a journeyman to show you the hands-on part of our field. So you're getting paid while you're working, and you're also getting paid while you're in school.
And at the end of that five-year apprentice program, hope is that you've gotten this training. You now become a journeyman sheet metal worker. Is that correct?
Correct.
And now you're on the job teaching the next round of apprentices, but also earning a very good living as a union sheet metal worker.
Correct.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Joe, tell me, Joe Carone, who is the instructor at Local 265 Sheet Metal Workers, how do people find your union if they're interested in it and reach out to you guys?
You can find our union by going to our website, which is smart265.org. And there are all kinds of tabs you could look on our website for any kind of information you'd like. Or you could call us at 630-668-0110.
Nice job, Joe. I appreciate it. I'm always willing and able to help promote this. I think that we need more young people, men and women, to be in the trades. And right now is, to me, a golden opportunity to enter into it. So thank you so much. Continued success to you and to Local 265.
Thank you, Lou.
You got it. I appreciate you calling. 7:33 in the morning. Schwani, let me catch up on a little bit of business, and I'll be right to you. Don't go away.
Okay.
You're listening to Lou Manfredini and the Mr. Fix-It Show, right here on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Water and electric, and a place to drain the septic. Any KOA is A-OK as long as I'm with you. So come on, hitch your wagon to the living room I'm dragging. If I can't bring you to my house, I'll bring my house to you.
7:43 in the morning, Lou Manfredini here with you. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Karen is on the line. Hi, Karen. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Hi, Lou.
How can I help you?
Well, we live in an older home in Manteno. We have a basement that's it's not a finished basement. It's just concrete.
Okay.
And it doesn't leak. Our problem is...
Show off.
It's got a drain in the middle of the floor.
Yeah.
And the only time we really have problems is if it's like a huge, huge rain.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes like five, if you hear 5 inches, the water just gushes through it. It's not sewage. It
comes up through the drain.
It comes through the drain.
Okay.
And we have one of those plugs you put in there and tighten it, but with the pressure of the water, it seeps past it anyhow.
Okay.
The basement never had a sump pump. We put in like a pit with a temporary sump pump that we only plug in if we have issues.
Okay.
Is there any way we can do that?
Does that help you?
You know, it's because it's not in the lowest part of the basement, we have to push it with like brooms and squeegees. So we have to be home when something like this happens.
Okay. So in other words, if you know there's 5 inches of rain and you plug in the sump pump in the pit does fill up with water, correct?
It depends. Well, once it gets so deep in the basement, because when they put the pit in, where the drain is, it's higher, but there's also those pipes that go under there. So they didn't put it near that. They put it in an area that's a little higher. So it
okay, wait. When they
way.
Put the pit in, does the pit have holes in it?
No. It's just like, it's almost like, it would say like a garbage can, but it's plastic. Got a cover over it,
right?
And it's got a sump pump in it that just runs out with CB pipe.
Okay, but this is my point to you. So what you're experiencing, what by the sounds of it, is you're getting groundwater that's coming up through your it's your sewer lines that are probably it's a combination that. That drain is connected to your sewer line, and when you get a lot of rain, it's backing up through that floor drain.
Yes.
If that pit had holes in it, the water level that's happening underneath the concrete, it would go into that pit first before it backed into your sewer.
So drilling holes in that...
Should help dramatically.
Okay, because I had all these... trying to rig up something. I was thinking.
But here's my couple other questions, Karen. Your downspouts that you have on the house.
Yes.
Do they just go onto the ground outside?
No, they go away from the house.
No, I understand, but they don't go into a sewer line next to the house.
No.
Okay.
No, they don't.
So all of that gets cascaded onto the soil, and then this water backup is only through that floor drain. And do we know that that floor drain is connected to a sewer line? Do you have a let me ask you this. How old is your house?
Oh, probably maybe in the 30s, 40s.
Oh, okay. All right. So all your sewer line is underground.
Yeah, I would say, yes.
All right. My guess is you've got a crack in that line of that drain, since you said it's always clear water that comes up, right?
Right.
Okay. So I bet you got a crack in that drain somewhere that when the water table comes up, it fills that in, and then it backs up, and that's the channel to it. If you were to drill holes in that plastic garbage can and leave the sump pump plugged in, first of all, I bet when you drill those holes, all of a sudden you're going to have water in the pit.
Oh.
That's the whole idea, is trying to take the groundwater out of there and bring it in there. Now, in a perfect world, you put drain tile around the perimeter, but I think if you took a one-inch spade bit on a drill and drilled several holes, you know, like maybe a foot. I drill a couple right in the bottom of it, straight down.
Okay.
And then I drill like four or five of them around the perimeter about a foot up from the bottom.
Okay.
I bet you'll solve the problem.
Oh, dear Lord. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Because I was thinking, well, if I took these PC pipes, like a six-inch one, put it in that hole and maybe put an elbow on it and stuck it up the window.
No.
Because the pressure of that water is just unbelievable.
You're good. You're good.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much. God bless you. I appreciate it.
I appreciate that. I love being blessed on a Saturday. That's great. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. We're going to take a quick break, and this is what I think we're going to do. No, let's, because I want to get some calls in. Can we push the Noodaloo 2 till after the top of the hour? So we'll be right back. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Lou Manfredini here with you. This is Raymond in Hampshire. Raymond, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. How are you doing?
Good. How can I help you?
Over when we had the last cold snap, we were out of town, and the way our house is built, the kitchen is kind of like an added on part of the house that has a sealed crawl space that we can't get to.
Okay.
And we had pipes that go to our sink freeze during that cold snap. And then when they unfroze this past week, there was a ton of like black sand and red sand that was caught in the aerator filter. Is that something that's normal in older houses, or is that maybe like a cracked line somewhere? I mean, there's no water seeping anywhere that I can see anyway, so I'm assuming it's not a cracked line.
The addition to this kitchen is how many years old, would you guess?
The house was built in the 1800s. They added the addition on in the early 20s.
Oh, okay. So my guess is you have galvanized piping that comes up through the floor and, or, you know, comes up into the kitchen. When the pipes froze and the ice expanded, you know, the sediment and the crud that's on the inside of the galvanized pipes adhered to the ice. And then as it unfroze, it just pulled that through, and that's what you're getting, is the crud from inside there. Now, you don't, with everything off now, you don't hear anything, right?
No, there's no drips or leaks or anything that I can see.
Right.
But I can't see back into the crawl space because they actually sealed it off for some reason, a cobblestone wall.
There's a basement, correct?
There's the old cellar that was built in like the 1800s.
Right.
And then when they added the additions onto the house, they didn't expand the basement. They just added crawl space, but then sealed them all off with cobblestone.
If you're going to stay in this house for a while, Raymond, I think it's worth the effort to open up one of those walls.
Okay.
To create an access point, because what you just experienced may happen again. And, you know, if it was done in the 20s, you know, you could probably solve this problem if there's enough space in that crawl space for you to wiggle yourself in there to insulate those pipes. And eventually, the fact that it's a 1920s galvanized pipe, I can almost promise you that if you're going to stay in that house and then for the next 10 years, you're going to be replacing that piping.
Yeah, we're planning on trying to replace it this summer when it warms up and we can get under there.
So maybe you, in conjunction with that, you make an opening, you know, an opening that you can get, you know, a good 3 foot wide by something to kind of explore how big it is. So you have some access to it. It's only going to be helpful to you long term.
Okay. Now, when we insulate the pipes, do we use the foam insulation, or
Correct.
Do we use the one you plug in?
Well, I mean, depending on the location of them, it may be a combination of both. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And something that you set up, but that is something that you'll determine once you get in there and take a look at it.
All right. Well, thank you very much for the advice.
Got it. I appreciate you calling this morning. Thanks so much. Let's talk with John, who's in Rogers Park. Hey, John, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Hi. Good morning, Lou. Great show. I love it.
Thank you.
Hey, you know, first, a little helpful thing for your listeners who listened to the previous interview. There's an article in the Reader called Trading Up. It's about the Jane Addams Resource Corporation, which has a women in manufacturing program.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it trains women, offers free training in the trades.
Oh, that's awesome. What's the name of the organization?
It's called the Jane Addams Resource Corporation. And they have a women in manufacturing program, and there's a career in manufacturing program. And it features a woman who was unhappy in her career. She's between jobs, and she's now a member of the Chicago Pipefitters Union. She's a welder.
I love that. You know what? I'm going to have Lindsay look into that. We'll see if we can get them to come on the air. We'll talk to them, too.
Yeah, it was in this week's Reader.
Cool. How can I help you?
Anyway, bathroom sink, vanity. The faucets are leaking. The cold water has a drip, and when I turn on the cold water, I get seepage coming out from under the hot water faucet onto the vanity. And this is the kind of faucet that has those brass cartridges in it.
Yep.
It's not just replacing, you know, which is a big pain. And I've tried to match those cartridges. I've been to three stores. I've been to a specialty faucet store that deals with plumbers. They try to match it up. Can these cartridges be repaired in any way or filled with putty or you know, I can't find the manufacturing stamped on the faucet anymore.
In a perfect world, sure, they could be honed out and all that kind of stuff. There's a specific store called the Faucet Shop. Have you ever heard of them?
Been there.
And they don't have it?
They tried to match them up. They came pretty close, but when I installed the new cartridges, the water just free flowed because they weren't an exact match for the ones that were.
I'm gonna tell you what. If they don't have it, you're not gonna get it.
That's
like the last resource. Where if you can't find it at the hardware store or the plumbing supply house, you know, they'll all send you to the faucet shop, and they all
every one of them down the line. Clark Devon Hardware,
right.
Everybody said.
Right. Go to the faucet shop. They'll have it. You know, it's a highly specialized thing. So, unfortunately, John, I think you're in the market for installing a new faucet at that point. You must have some kind of brand that's just not, some kind of off-brand or something that they can't match. That's too bad. But, hey, new faucet. That's awesome. Hey.
Now back to Lou Manfredini on the Mr. Fix-It Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
My AI just changed. It just
8:10 in the morning. This hour, the Mr. Fix-It Show, sponsored by Fox Home Center and by Chevy Drive Chicago.com. 312-981-7200 is our number. Taking your phone calls. Also, we're talking to a bunch of different trade unions this morning. My thanks to Joe Carone, instructor over at Local 265 Sheet Metal Workers. We talked to him right at the start of the show. Their website, if you're interested in learning about opportunities with the sheet metal workers, is at smart265.org. Smart265.org. This hour, we're going to talk with Jim Coyne, who's the business manager with Local 130, the Plumbers Union. That'll be coming up after the report of news at 8:35. Mr. Schwani, it's always nice to see you. I don't get to see you that much. I listen to you and Sam on Sundays when I'm bebopping around. Everything's good with you?
Everything is good with me. Happy New Year,
happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you and Lindsay, nonetheless.
I think you're allowed to say Happy New Year and through the end of January.
Something like that.
Especially when you don't see people.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So,
right.
All good with you? They're treating you well here?
Oh, yeah.
I don't need to kick anybody's rear end?
No, I'm keeping busy,
all right, good.
Which is good because that helps me get through the winter months.
That's nice.
That is nice. So, we're rolling right along.
I have a sweet news story that I read on the Huffington Post that I want to share with the view. Sam, you may this will be a nice thing for you to hear, too. A woman named Fedre Fitton had the last laugh after losing her 5-year battle with cancer in 2013, shortly before she died. The 69-year-old cheekily asked her husband, Nigel Fitton, to keep watering the plants in the bathroom of their South African home. He faithfully did so for several years until his recent move into the retirement home, when it was pointed out to him that the plants he'd been caring for were, in fact, made of plastic. Antonia Nicole, who's a firefighter from London, shared the details of her late mother's amusing prank on Twitter. It was only when they flew over to help him move they realized the plants were plastic, Nicole told the Huffington Post. He said, "I wondered why they still look so good." She said, "We really laughed about it, and it was lovely to think that my mother is still there with us." Isn't that so sweet?
That's neat.
In the subsequent subsequent tweets, Nicole described her mother as a very funny and an absolute legend with a cheeky sense of humor. She said it would have tickled her so much to know that he actually did what she said.
Isn't that clever? Where does all the water go?
That's my question.
That was my question, too. Yeah. And the picture that she posted was this, you know, it's like a fern on it, and it looked beautiful. And, you know, maybe he just watered it a little bit, and maybe it was in the bathroom in a window, and maybe it just evaporated. I don't know. The picture she showed was it was in the window. Nigel said that her father had been overcome with grief after losing his mother, whom they both met when they were 16 years old, and watering the plants gave him something to do. Her father thought that the toilet had leaked due to the puddles on the floor.
So it just kept running over.
Yeah. And she said that the story has inspired a lot of people to open up a loss of their own with their loved ones. So how sweet is that, that here the poor lady is dying of cancer, but she still has her sense of humor, and her husband followed through with that for 5 years. Amazing.
He was probably really proud that the plants didn't die.
Yeah, right. You know? Boy, and what a reminder, right? She wanted me to do that, so I thought that was a sweet story I wanted to share. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. George has been hanging on in New Lenox. George, you're on WGN. Thanks so much for hanging on. How can I help you?
Good morning, Lou. I moved into a newly built house in September.
Okay.
And I have a question about my basement. So the basement flooring, when you go downstairs and you come back upstairs, on my wood floors, I got, you know, white powdery substance. My wife, you know, tried to mop that floor. I can't get it clean enough so that I don't track that white substance up to the wood floors.
Right.
And I'm trying to figure out, you know, what to do, how to go about cleaning it, and what kind of cleaning solution I should use so I could finally, you know, get rid of that.
So the whole floor is concrete. That's completely unfinished.
Correct.
Okay. How much stuff do you have down there?
Not a lot.
Okay, good. So I want you to clean it, and then I want you to seal it. Where are you? New Lenox. Okay. You got a pencil or a piece of paper?
Yep.
This is the sealer I want you to buy. Is your eventual goal someday you're going to finish that basement?
If I win the lottery and get $50,000.
All right, well, there you go. Maybe if you're going to win the lottery, let's wish for higher than more than 50. There is a sealer called Bone Dry. Okay. Go to their website, bonedryproducts.com, and see if there's a dealer out by you. Otherwise, you're going to order it online. The reason I want you to get this is it's a really good commercial sealer that is going to keep any moisture from coming up through that slab, which potentially could happen over time. All I want you to do is take warm water, and I want you to take a mop, and I want you to mop the whole floor. And, you know, mop it, rinse it, you know, like you're going to mop the whole floor with it completely empty. Follow the instructions on the Bone Dry. You actually apply it to the floor while it's damp and back your way out of this basement with a pump sprayer and spray it. And then you think you got to stay off of it for a couple hours or so. And that should seal it once and for all, and you have no problems anymore.
How about if, you know, quick fix? Do I try to just scrub it with Pine Sol or something like that?
Well, I mean, here's the thing is it sounds to me with all that dust you have, it was never sealed.
Okay.
The reason you're getting all that dust is it was never sealed. Because normally when they seal it, because you probably have a pretty smooth finish, right?
Yes.
Nice and they didn't seal it. And so that dust is going to keep happening. I mean, yeah, you can try Pine Sol and scrub it all up. But if you do that, I think you're going to still find that you're going to track dust in there. What it ultimately needs
is it needs to be sealed.
All right.
All right. Hey, I hope you win the lottery. I really do. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. This is Karen in Des Plaines. Hi, Karen. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Oh, hi, Mr. Manfredi. I hope you can help me.
Me too.
I have a furnace problem. It's a forced air, two-stage. It's 10 years old. It's serviced regularly, and I changed the filters, and it runs, but, excuse me, it goes boom in the beginning of the cycle and bang at the end of the cycle. And the furnace man said it was probably the cold air return duct or something like that, and right. I need to have the ducts cleaned. But I'm not sure about that, and I'd like you to tell me where I should go.
Okay, let me ask you this. When is your furnace in your basement?
Yes, it is.
Okay, and do you know what the cold air return looks like?
No.
Okay. More than likely, do you know where the furnace filter is?
Oh, yes, I change it all the time.
Okay, so that ductwork that leads into where that filter is,
yes,
is the cold air return.
Oh.
Okay? And the way you can double-check this is when the furnace is running,
yes,
you'll put your hand on that one and the hand on the one that's above the furnace, and you'll feel a temperature difference between the metal. Like the one on the top of the furnace is going to be hotter.
What's the top one? I mean, there's a pipe that's so hot if I touch it.
No, not the pipe. But, yeah. Okay, your furnace, I'm assuming. Tell me about your house. Is it a single-family home?
A single-family, yes, upstairs and downstairs.
And does your are your vents in the first floor in the floor?
Yes, they are, okay. Along the molding.
So when you look at the furnace, it's like a rectangular box, right?
Yes.
And then you've got probably have the round pipe that is the, that's the actual flue. But then there's like metal, galvanized metal, same color probably as the round flue that's directly above the furnace.
Okay, I have them old, octopus things. And then I had the furnace.
So that's what was
changed. It's a newer furnace.
Got it. That connects to the octopus.
Yes.
All right. But then the cold air return on the side next to the thing is kind of a rectangular shaped, right?
Yes.
All right.
That's where the filter goes in?
Correct.
Okay, I'm there.
My guess is that boom is coming from the expansion and contraction when the thing kicks on and off. So, on that cold air return, what I want you to try and do is put, in other words, is it faithful when it kicks on, you hear the boom?
It's faithful, yes. It's
okay.
Quieter when it kicks on, and then it's louder.
But you do hear something when it kicks on.
Yes, I do. Right. I hear.
Is there anybody in like, do you have a friend that can come over and help you with my little test?
Oh, sure.
All right, this is what you're going to do. You're going to turn the furnace down a couple degrees, okay? And then have your friend come over. Serve them some coffee. Are you a baker?
Okay.
Are you a baker?
Not anymore.
All
no.
Right. Well, if you could bake something, you could probably get someone to come over. But anyway, then you're going to say Marjorie or whatever your name friend's name is. I'm going to go downstairs, and guy named Marjorie probably doesn't make sense, but they're going to turn the furnace up to what you normally put it at, 72 degrees, whatever. Then on that cold air return, the vertical part of it, I want you to just push on it and hold it.
Okay.
It's like you're going to bend the ductwork a little bit, okay? And then if it kicks on and it doesn't make that booming sound, it's that expansion and contraction of that, and you could have the HVAC person come and do a little tune-up and tighten up that ductwork and possibly even put a brace in there to keep it from doing that and avoid that noise.
Oh, that would be absolutely wonderful.
I know.
My goodness, aren't you wonderful?
Well, if it works, then I'm wonderful. If it doesn't work, don't call me back.
Okay, but when he came and he turned the furnace down, you know, to work on it, after he left, I thought, man, he's a miracle man. It stopped. And then it started an hour later. So that's what it's down there where the...
I think it's expansion and contraction from the ductwork.
It does sound like
yeah.
expansion.
And if it and if it's now the thing is when you're down there doing that,
yes,
you may also be able to notice it could be on the hot side as well, the really hot pipes. So pay attention to that, and then if they put a bracket in there or a brace, I think they'll be able to localize and find the problem.
Thank you, Mr. Manfredini.
You
That's
got it,
wonderful.
Karen. I appreciate you calling this morning. It's 8:22 in the morning. My name is Lou Manfredini. This is the Mr. Fix-It Show on 720 WGN. We'll be right back.
You're tuned in to Lou Manfredini and the Mr. Fix-It Show here on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
8:26 in the morning. Our Noodaloo 2, are we going to do our Noodaloo 2? Yeah. So, I think I need to go into the pet business because... So we have two dogs, right? We have Enzo the Wonder Dog and we have Flo the...
Shih Tzu.
Right, I won't say it on the air. She's a little bitty dog and I've talked to you about this before on the air that a man my size should not have a dog that size. I've always made fun of men my size walking a dog like that. Can I tell you something? I love that little dog. I love that little dog.
He's
I don't know how to describe this little dog, but she is a little dog with a big personality, and it's the best thing that ever happened to Enzo, the Wonder Dog, even though he, I have the most needed, the dogs need therapy, okay? So Enzo's a big dog. She jumps up on the couch and goes upstairs and downstairs. Enzo only is on the first floor. He won't do any stairs. So every now and then, you know, Enzo will be lying at, first of all, I am coming back as a dog. He's lying on the floor, and I'll get down on the floor, and I'll be rubbing the dog. You know, hey, Enzo, how you doing? Like, he just got groomed, so he smells really good. And I'm, you know, rubbing him, and he loves it, and he paws me, and he's so happy to be rubbed. And she gets jealous and comes over and starts barking, right, that you're not giving me any attention. She's needy. I have the neediest dogs, okay? So remind me to tell you a funny story about Carmen moving and Enzo knowing that she was moving and coming over to her at the dinner table. It was really sweet. Anyway. When we take her outside in the salt and the walking, it's a huge problem. She really gets affected by the ice melt that's on there. So we tried buying boots. She wanted nothing to do with it. She said, these boots are not made for walking, Nancy Sinatra. That would have been a funny song, too. Well, my wife found this stuff. And we ordered it because we're selling this stuff at both of our hardware stores. And when I was talking to the guy to see if they wholesale this stuff, he goes, they're out of Connecticut. And he goes, I'm from Chicago. I'm a big fan of your radio show. Take a listen.
And they called it puppy love.
One of my favorite things is watching dogs wear booties for the first time. If I ever need a good laugh, I know I can rely on that. And with all this cold weather, finding a dog in boots is not that uncommon. However, what about the dogs that don't wear boots, which is most of them? This week's New to Lou 2 isn't for you people, it's for your dog. Musher's Secret is an invisible boot for dogs made of dense barrier wax that forms a breathable bond with your dog's paws. Developed in Canada for use with sledding dogs, it provides tenacious protection even in the most extreme conditions. Great for mushing, hunting, walking, or before any outdoor activity. It's made from a blend of several food-grade waxes, so it's totally safe and natural, even if they lick it, which they probably will. The semi-permeable shield is absorbed into the paws, allowing perspiration to escape through the toes. Musher's Secret aids in protecting your dog's paws from salt and chemicals, ice buildup, snowballing. But wait, there's more. It's not just for cold temps, but for summer as well. It also protects against sand, sunburn, hot pavement, and any rough terrain. Depending on how often your pup is outdoors in these conditions, you only need to apply 1 to 3 times a week. All right, are you feeling a little left out because it's not about you this week, peeps? Fine, here's a secret. You can actually use Musher's Secret yourself on your cheeks and hands to prevent windburn. A jar of this stuff goes for about 15 to 20 bucks, depending on where you get it. You can find it on Amazon, Walmart, Target, and you can find out more at mushersecret.net. That's this week's New to Lose 2.
It is amazing. I thought at first it was like a mink oil, but it's not. I put it on Flo's little pads. Honest to goodness, I can see the dog is happy to go outside. And what's interesting is that when she comes back in, there's no film that's left on the floor. So it's not like a sticky thing. You don't get done putting it on their pads. We posted this on my Facebook page just with a little picture of a different dog that's not Flo about this whole thing. And it's like it reached 20,000 people and they shared it like crazy, like they never even saw the stuff before. It was amazing, right? So it's called Musher's Secret. It's like a little round container. Shh, don't tell anybody. Woof. Okay, real quick dog story. Go to our Facebook page. You'll find it. And you can go to Edgebrook Ace Hardware and Villa Park House, where we own them. And we sell it there as well. And it really does work. Carmen moved to Los Angeles. She is chasing her dream to be a TV writer, and she moved there on Tuesday. We both got on airplanes Tuesday morning early. I went to New York to do the Today Show, and Carmen went to L.A. Wednesday morning. And she's there. She's getting settled. The night before she left, we had a little family dinner. All the kids were there except Mallory. She's back at school. My father-in-law's there. And back in the day, where our kitchen table is, we used to have a crate in the corner where Enzo would go when he was little. And we kept the crate there for years. And he used to always do this thing that when we would eat dinner, Enzo would go into the crate, just to be with us. This is pre-flow. So the crate's been gone for years, okay? And Enzo now pays no attention to us eating dinner, whatever. We had bags packed. We loaded the bags in the car because Carmen and I were leaving super early. When Carmen sat at the table, she sat over in that corner. And Enzo came. And Carmen is not a dog lover. I mean, she likes the dogs, but she's not a, I love you, Enzo, I love you, Flo. I mean, it's kind of a running joke. He came over in the corner and sat right next to her the whole time we were there at dinner. And you totally got this sense that he knew she was leaving. It was really sweet. I love dogs.
That really, that makes me tear up. I know I tear up all the time, but I'm talking about a dog. Sweet.
I know.
I've heard all kinds of stories like that.
It's amazing.
From people. And dogs and cats.
Yeah, and it's just really amazing that he knew that she was gone, and we all recognize it, which is really sweet. Really funny. I mean, it really was sweet. When we used to sit there and pray before dinner when the kids were little, he'd come over and we'd hold hands to pray. He'd put his paw on. I swear to God.
I joke all the time. Like
I think Enzo's Catholic.
When people post on obviously. When people post on Facebook that they lost their pet, I think it affects me sometimes more than when people say, I'm so sorry I lost my mom.
We lost our dog Barney, I don't know how many years ago now. It's got to be 11, 12, 13, 14 years ago. And if I think back and start to tell the story to somebody about it, I can't not cry because it was such an emotional thing.
It's never easy coming home to a flooded living room or getting news that your roof needs replacing or that your toilet has been leaking to the neighbor below. If you're having difficulty coping and have unanswered questions about your home, we want you to know you're not alone and you've come to the right place. Because here on the Mr. Fix-It Show,
we're not booing.
We're looing.
That's right. You're listening to Lou Manfredini and the Mr. Fix-It Show, and he's taking your calls live till 10, right here on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Here I am. Welcome back. Lou Manfredini here with you, the Mr. Fix-It Show, 8:43 in the morning. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Been talking show today, we're talking to different representatives from different trade unions across the Chicagoland area about the opportunities that exist to enter into those unions. And joining me on the phone line right now is Jim Coyne, who is a business manager at Local 130 with the Plumbers. Jim, good morning. Welcome to WGN.
Good morning, Lou.
Jim, I got a love-hate relationship with plumbing. I love it.
Why is that?
I love the science and the engineering that goes into plumbing, how it all works and, the way that the systems are venting, the modern plumbing. And I think it's just amazing. When it comes to doing the maintenance side of it, that's my hate side of it. I think probably for most people, that's the case.
It's a lot of frustration for a lot of homeowners.
Yeah. Okay, Jim, I'm very familiar with Local 130 and the plumbers that you guys represent. We talked earlier this morning with the folks over at the Sheet Metal Workers Union, And I think that with the plumbers union, you've got a trade that is, you know, has always been sort of positioned, and rightly so, in my opinion, with a group of tradespeople that are dedicated and trained for the health and safety of a nation when it comes to plumbing and how that all system works. I assume you would agree.
Oh, absolutely, Lou. We have our staff over here, Plumber Saul, answer the phone, that the plumber protects the health of the nation. That's kind of our motto.
Right. Okay, take me through, when we talk about a plumber, or somebody that wants to go into this apprenticeship program, what would that entail?
We're actually starting our apprentice signups this coming Tuesday, January 23rd, and it will run for 5 weeks through Thursday, February 22nd. And we're going to be doing that on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays here in the West Loop at 1400 West Washington Boulevard in Chicago. And we have two other schools, Lou. We have one out in Joliet, and we have one up north in Volo as well.
Oh, really?
Yes, sir.
Those are different locals, correct?
No, that's all part of Local 130.
Oh, it is. Oh, okay. I did not realize that.
Yeah, we're Local 130 has the geographical jurisdiction of 17 counties here in northern Illinois.
This is something, Jim, that I talk about with a lot of people, that to find the best tradespeople to work on your home or on your business or to construct it, whatever it may be, you got to find the people that have the best training. And one of the things that I know that goes across the brotherhood of all these trade unions is the training that you provide. Take me through, and the listeners through, you got the sign up, you said starting on January 23rd, but if someone is accepted into your union, what does that entail?
Well, we have a 5-year apprenticeship program where our apprentices go to school 1 day a week, and they're being paid by our contractor base. We have over 400 signatory contractors that have an agreement with the local. So training is paramount in our eyes. We produce the best trained, skilled mechanics in the plumbing industry anywhere in the country, and it all starts with the our training centers. So that, like I said, it's a 5-year program where they go to school for 3 years. And one day is assigned school day at any one of our three locations, and the other 4 days are on-the-job training.
So if you're a young man or woman that is in this training program, you mentioned you've got a place up in Volo, you live up north there, you know, close to the Wisconsin border, certainly the training would the class would be up there, or do they come to the city?
Yeah, we try to make it, you know, when you have 400 contractors in 17 counties, if one of our contractors has an apprentice that's up in, let's say, Waukegan, he's sure. Obviously going to go to the Volo school.
Got it, right.
As well, if we have somebody out in, you know, the southwest area, in the Joliet area, if he lives in Morris, Illinois, he's going to go to the Joliet facility.
Got it. So you come to school, you're learning at the base level, like how all these systems work. You're working there 1 day a week in school, but then you're on the job when you're accepted into the program, working on whatever kind of job. What would be some of the jobs that they could work on as an apprentice?
Well, we have, you know, any aspect of plumbing, whether it's residential service, whether it's new residential construction, or whether you're working on a school, a hospital, or a high-rise, anything in our plumbing industry, we train our apprentices to meet the demands of our contractor base.
Now, there's a little bit of a difference, right, because you've got in the plumbing realm, I mean, your members are kind of doing a lot of the waste and the venting and the domestic water feeds, but then you've got other people that are complementary but in different unions, right, like pipe fitters or even sprinkler contractors. That's different unions but kind of a similar industry in a way, right?
Yes. We call it the pipe trades of the UA. The UA is our United Association, which is our international union.
Got it.
And it's a 340,000 working men in North America, and there's plumbers, pipe fitters, and sprinkler fitters.
And how many members does Local 130 have in the Chicagoland area?
We have over 6,100 members.
Wow. Wow, that's awesome. And the demand is just growing, right? We're at this kind of a really good point right now with what's going on.
Yes, and that's reflected by the amount of apprentices we put on the last 3 years. We have a class that starts every May, and then we'll have a class in the fall as well. So I'm proud to tell you that we put on about almost over 450 apprentices in the last 3 years.
Wow, that's fantastic. And I mean, and these are well-paid. You're a well-trained. When you come out of that apprenticeship program after 5 years, you're a journeyman plumber who is ready to kind of lead work and be the lead person on there. You're talking about a really good salary, a workload that, you know, I know for many is very busy, but that's what everybody wants to do. They want to work, and it's the kind of thing that you can really build a future on.
Yeah, when we talk to our young apprentice group, we always say we're not offering you a job, we're offering you a career. After that apprenticeship, all of our members get licensed in the state of Illinois. Mm-hmm. You need to have a plumber's license to do our work. And the city of Chicago has a license as well as the state of Illinois. Right. So it's go back to that motto, Lou, the plumber protects the health of the nation.
That's right. That's right. I have a long-standing relationship with your union with many, many years ago when, you know, the Plumbing Council was part of this. And a friend of mine, Bob Ryan, who was with the union for many, many, many years, was involved with your union, a terrific man. And I've always had a great respect for all the folks in all these unions because they really are helping to build our nation, no question. All right, so Jim, tell me once again how people find out about perhaps becoming a member of Local 130.
Well, they can go to our website at www.jac. JAC stands for Joint Apprenticeship Committee, 130.org. So JAC, 130.org. And if they have any questions that's not on the website, they can call our training center at area code 312-421-1028.
Jim Coyne is a business manager with Local 130 Plumbers. Pleasure talking with you, sir. Continued success to you and your union in 2018.
Lou, thanks for the opportunity to promote our plumber's apprenticeship program.
Absolutely. 8:52 in the morning. You're listening to the Mr. Fix-It Show on 720 WGN. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Lou.
Bonnie's in Crestwood. Hi, Bonnie.
I have a question about my bathroom floor.
And the Mr. Fix-It Show.
One of the tiles next to the toilet is sinking down. My concern is there's water getting underneath the floor there.
He's taking your calls till 10.
Yeah, I just don't want to be going to the bathroom one day and end up down in the crawl space, you know, like the next 2 days or so. That wouldn't be super good.
Bonnie,
where'd you go?
Bonnie, are you all right down there?
Right here on the Voice of Chicago 720 WGN.
Oh, Josh has got a toilet question. Hopefully he's not going through the floor. Hey, Josh, you're on WGN. Good morning.
Morning. How are you?
Terrific. What's going on?
Well, me and my mom have a toilet in our house. When you flush it the first time, it doesn't flush. And then when you flush it the second time, it flushes. And it's been doing that for a while. So what's the problem?
So when you flush it the first time, no problem.
No, when you flush it the first time, it doesn't flush.
It doesn't.
But then, no, when you flush it the second time, it does flush.
Okay, and real quick, is this both with liquids and solids, or it doesn't matter, or it does matter?
What do you mean solids?
Well, solids that would be in the toilet, right? Mm-hmm. Number one or number two?
It's with...
It doesn't matter.
Right. It's with the liquids and solids.
Got it. Okay. So here's 90% of the time, Josh, the reason that a toilet doesn't work is that the holes underneath the rim are clogged.
Okay.
So what I want you to do is take a metal coat hanger and a hand mirror, if you can, and use the hand mirror under the rim of the toilet. Bend the coat hanger and scrape the holes underneath the rim and scrape out those holes to clean out the calcium that's inside there. And you're going to improve the flushing action of the toilet. There may also be a small hole inside the toilet, like in the bowl down low, that if you had your hand palm up, there's a little place that you can scrape that as well, and that should increase the flushing action in the toilet and work for both solids and liquids. Thanks so much for the phone call. News right after this.
You're listening to
Lou Manfredini.
Hi, Lou.
Don't we like to sing that song?
I think you're okay.
Lou Manfredini. Okay. And the Mr. Fix-It Show.
This is a little brass stripping brush.
Okay. Yeah.
If you need a little bit more aggressive.
I like the copper choir boy.
Chore boy.
So, whatever.
Here he is now on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Well, no one told me about her.
Welcome back. Lou Manfredini here, the Mr. Fix-It Show at 9:11 in the morning. This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by Ace Hardware and by PermaSeal Basement Systems. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Jack is in Sycamore. Thanks so much for hanging on, Jack. When we're done talking, I want you to hang on even more. Really, we're going to get you an app gift card. How about that? $50 app gift card. Go to app.com for more information. How can I help you?
I'm in a condo, and I'm in the lower level. And I've got a fireplace. It's a gas fireplace. And I don't know whether the stone is real or artificial, but it's black from the screen on up. And also the other sides on the fireplace are, you know, dirty looking, and I'm wondering what I can use to clean it, and also if you know somebody, I would assume that I'm going to have somebody come in. What do they call them?
Chimney sweep?
Chimney sweep,
sure. Besides. So the folks at Lindemann Chimney would be the ones I would call for that inspection. Their website is...
And do they come out all the way to Sycamore?
I believe they have representatives. I think the way they work is they kind of spread people around and, like, geographically, you know, where they live and so they cover the area. If they don't, I know that they can help find you someone that does, but I think they might.
Well, great.
Their website is cleanfireplace.com. All right, and so you can go to that website to contact them and see if they can come out, take a look at it. As far as cleaning it, now describe again what it looks like.
Well, it's basically square, and it's got the stones or the rock, whatever. I don't know whether they're real or artificial.
We're talking about the inside of the firebox, right?
Well, no, I'm talking about the face of it.
The face of it.
Faces out into the room.
Got it.
I assume that the inside is as bad as the other, but it's just, you know, it looks mean.
Right. It looks mean. All right, let's try this. Let's start with stay with me on this. There's a mold cleaner called Concrobium Mold Cleaner. Okay, it's a cleaner that's designed to kill and crush mold, but it also is a sodium bicarbonate based product, which is like the super duper all time cleaner that I think would probably be effective on this because it'll work inside the nooks and crannies. Another cleaner that's also a sodium carbonate is Spick and Span. So you literally, Spick and Span is sodium carbonate. That's the main ingredient in the cleaner. So if you mix that with warm water and use a scrub brush with either one of them, like a nylon scrub brush, and just work in small areas to circle around and kind of clean it all up, I think you're going to find that it's going to really brighten itself up. Do that. Call the folks at Lindemann to come out and inspect that chimney and get that working out for you. And I think it should work out just fine. Hang on a second. Lindsay's going to get your information so we can get you that app gift card out there. All right, let's switch a little gears from the call. But as you know, this morning we've been talking to a lot of different representatives from the trade unions around the Chicagoland area and trying to learn more about opportunities that exist. Our next guest this morning is Vince Sticca, who is the director coordinator for the Chicago Regional Council of Carpenters, which, I mean, I hate to say this, but as a carpenter myself, it's my favorite union. How are you, Vince? Good morning.
Good morning, Lou. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. The trade that I came up in was as a carpenter. That's more of a framing carpenter than a trim carpenter. I even spent a little bit of time in the union up in Milwaukee as a carpenter up there. I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, but you know, everybody always talks about the fact that on a big job, you know, the carpenters tend to be the lead guys on the job. But talk a little bit about the opportunities that exist, Vince, within the carpenters union.
Well, thank you. That's true. That carpenters do run the job.
Going to get me in trouble, Vince.
And I've been a 40-year member as a carpenter, and also have been involved at school for 25 years. And the opportunity we have for young people is it's debt-free training. It's good wages. We take anybody that's anywhere from the age of 18 and up, women, minorities. And we support our veterans. We hire our heroes. And we have quite a few minorities, and we have different groups that you can go into. I call it an umbrella, where we have general carpentry, which is your commercial, your residential. We have a concrete program. Believe it or not, floor coverers, our installers, are carpenters.
Right, right.
There's lathers and millwrights, pile drivers here in Chicago, insulators, siders, roofers, also cabinet makers and trade show builders is part of us.
Right. You know, one of the things that I want to make perfectly clear, and we've been getting a lot of text messages this morning as we've talked to different representatives from different trade unions, I do want to make the point, and I'm sure that you too as well, Vince, this is not a men-only opportunity here. This is for men and women in all the trades that we're talking about, and I'm sure your membership has representation from both genders within your union.
Yes, that's true. I mean, we have quite a few women that are in the trades. We have also some of our instructors are also women that have gone through our program.
Right. I mean, there's no question that you know, the training is top notch with all the unions, and this is hard work, but it is work that anybody that is willing to work hard can accomplish through the right training, the right tools, and systems that are out there. So it isn't that you have to be some 6-foot-tall burly man to be a plumber or a carpenter or a pipe fitter.
That's true. There's some very petite young women that can bowl over some of our foremen.
So tell me a little bit about your apprentice program and how that all works if people want to get involved.
Well, I'd like to give you our website. It's called shicap.org. It's CHICAP.org. And you have to be 18 years of age. You have to have a valid driver's license. You have to reside in Cook, DuPage, Grundy, Iroquois, Kane, Kankakee, Kendall, or Lake County, or Will County.
So your union, the Carpenters Union, really spans a very large area in the north part of Illinois.
We mostly have almost all of Illinois.
Really?
We have seven schools.
Wow.
We have two in Chicago, two in Elk Grove, one in Rockford, East Moline, Pekin, and even into Bentendorf, Iowa.
Wow.
So that's where we're at. All those areas have an apprenticeship program there that's a full-time program.
Okay.
You also must have your original Social Security card. You'll be a high school graduate or have a GED. We do have a proficiency test and also a drug test. But if you do have some problems with math, we're willing to help you out if you don't pass the tests.
Right. There's a fair amount of math when it comes to carpentry work. There's no doubt about that. It's you know, for those that in particular love geometry, carpentry is a terrific field for you putting that real application. You know, it's funny. We have a son who's a junior in high school now, and last year he was taking geometry, and he really didn't like geometry. And he came home one day, and he says, "Why do I need geometry? What is it ever that I'm going to do with geometry?" And I said, "Well, you know, if you ever became a carpenter, it comes in really handy."
That's true. That's true. You know, we do teach geometry, but we don't tell the students we're teaching them geometry.
Exactly.
until the end of the day or the end of the week. We mentioned to him, you know what you did this week? Right. Everything you did was geometry.
Well, and you know, I got to be honest with you. If you're a regular listener to this show, you've heard me talk about my friend Mike Jakubowski, who was also a carpenter and my business partner for many years. And Mike is really good with math, and it was never my forte, but I did not have a problem with it in the applied art of within the carpentry world. But if you put a pencil in front of me and made me do it, I would struggle with it. But the ones that are really good at math and can apply it, literally on a piece of paper, can translate that into the real world and will be very successful carpenters down the line. There's no question. I love the trade of carpentry. I mean, my story goes that when I was a kid, I was working as a laborer on a steel job for a steel company. And I watched a carpenter back when I was 18, 19 years old. We were doing second floor steel on this house. And this carpenter was below building a round powder room. And it was the most interesting thing I'd ever seen. And the carpenter, we must have been staring at the guy for I don't know how long. And he turned up to me and said, "Kid, you can either sit there and stare at me or you can come down here and give me a hand." And that's what got me involved in carpentry, because I just loved what you could do with the wood and what you could create. And I really do think it's a terrific trade. And all these trades we've been talking about today, we need more skilled people. And these unions, like your own, Vince, is willing to train the right people for a career that can really be beneficial.
That's true. It's not a job. It's a career. It's something that you're very proud of. And you never stop talking about it. And just like you say, you know, there's times that you'll be driving by something and you'll mention to friends or family or kids, "I built that, I worked that."
Yeah.
We get good wages, we have great health care, we have a pension, which you're not seeing too much anymore.
Right.
And also, the training is available after you become a journeyman, because technology and materials and techniques are changing every day. So you really have to keep up your training as a carpenter.
Vince Sticca is the director coordinator for the Chicago Regional Council of Carpenters. All right, one more time, Vince, on that website, and then a phone number, too, if you have, for people to call.
Yes. The website is chicap.org. Telephone number 847-640-7373. And, Lou, I want to give you an open invitation to come out and see us in Elk Grove. We have 300,000 square feet under roof. We build houses inside. Love to have you.
Put it down, Lindsay. We're going to Elk Grove Village. All right, Vince, thanks so much. I appreciate you joining us this morning.
Thank you for the opportunity.
You got it. 9:23 in the morning. We'll be right back. They don't play that commercial anymore. There was another snoring thing, like the Z Quiet. It was another company. And they have some guy with a thick New York Italian accent. He goes, "How long are you going to put up with that snoring? It's the ultimate disrespect." I thought that was so funny. Every time I heard those ads, I cracked up. I can't remember the name of the product. Called Z-Quiet. It's probably Z-Quiet. Hey, do you have a cold breeze coming in from your windows? Call Cobblestone Development, Chicagoland's premier remodeler, and let them propose a solution. Whether you need new windows, siding, a bathroom, or kitchen, Cobblestone Development can help. With over 30 years of experience, their quality craftsmanship and affordable prices can't be beat. Get in the rehab zone with Cobblestone. Call for a free estimate, 773-661-0606, or visit cobblestonedevelopment.com. Now, due to increased business, Cobblestone Development is looking for experienced carpenters and project managers. Call 773-661-0606. 9:27 in the morning. Lou Manfredini here with you. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. Nella is in Frankfurt. Hi, Nella. You're on WGN. Good morning.
Hey, how are you today?
Fantastic. What's going on?
Good. First of all, I'd like to thank you for the thing you did about the dogs. My dog died this week, and it's tragic.
Sorry.
Tragic.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah. But I'm calling about my upstairs sink. I have a tri-level. And the sink off the upstairs bedroom, the water just smells bad. It's just funky. So we really don't use that water. Is there anything that can be done?
Only in the vanity or in both? The tub, too?
No, just in the vanity.
Okay. It's not the water that smells. It's your drain.
Really?
Uh-huh.
I clean that all the time, though.
No, you don't.
I even have one of those things that goes... Okay.
Here's what I want you to do.
Yeah.
You know the pop-up that you can use to close the sink up and down?
Yes.
Can you grab it and pull it out, or do you need to disconnect it?
I think I can pull it out. No, I can pull it out.
It comes out completely.
Yes, yes, yes.
I want you to get what's called a tube brush.
A tube brush.
Correct.
All right.
Go to the hardware store. Ask them for a tube brush. Rubbermaid makes one. And you're going to take that brush, and you're going to stick it halfway into the drain, and you're going to have a little bottle of Pine Sol.
Okay.
And you're going to pour just a little bit of Pine Sol right over the top of the brush, and then you're going to go up and down, and you're going to scrub all the way down to the trap. And you're going to clean the side walls of the drain with all the gunk that's there, and the smell is coming from when you're leaning over and you turn the water on. It's heating up the pipe, and that's where the smell is coming from.
So it's not coming out of the water faucet itself.
Nope.
It's in the pipe.
It's in the drain.
Oh, that's wonderful news. Thank you so much. And thanks for your show. Your show is great.
You're so nice.
And the thing today about the dogs, I'm telling you, I'm having a tough time.
Oh, I'm sorry. I hope it gets better. It's tough,
yeah,
I know.
Of course it will. But it's, you know what? I can't imagine life without a dog.
Yeah. Do like those dogs, that's for sure.
Thank you so much
for your phone call.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. 9:30 in the morning. Back after this.
You're listening to the Mr. Fix-It Show with Lou Manfredini on 720 WGN.
I'm singing in the rain.
Thanks, Mossy.
Just singing in the rain. What a glorious feel. And
there's something real quick I want to tell you about, which I think is really cool. I learned about this a few years ago through some Ace retailers that I'm friends with. Down south. Those of you who live down south may be familiar with Whitmore Ace Hardware. They have, what do they got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 locations. Mokena, Manteno, Manhattan, Wilmington, Braidwood, New Lenox. They, along with some other locations, are collecting for Melissa's Closet and Crystal's Jewelry Box. It is a prom dress collection and sale. And this is something that has been going on for a number of years. Saturday, March 3rd, between 9 a.m. and 1 p.m. at Godley Park District, which is at 500 South Kankakee Street in Godley, Illinois, we'll be having this prom dress sale. All the dresses are going to be $5. Every student should be able to go to prom. They're accepting, up until that point, long and short formal gowns from 2014 to new. The dresses must be clean, on hangers, and in excellent condition. Along with all the Whitmore Ace locations, they can drop prom dress donations at Water Street, which is in Mokena, Quality Auto Body, in Coal City, the Fossil Ridge Library in Braidwood, the Free Press newspaper in both Coal City and Wilmington, our Caring Closet, which is also in Wilmington, the Naked Sun South, not quite sure what that is, in Braidwood, the Coal City Library in Coal City, Gene Munt, American Portfolio Manager in New Lenox, and the Godley Park District, which is, as I mentioned, at 500 South Kankakee Street in Godley. This whole collection of prom dresses is in honor of the loving memory of Melissa Milikowski and Crystal Carr. So if you have prom dresses that are 2014 or newer, you can drop them off at those locations. And they're collecting at all these locations until March 1st. And then the sale, as I mentioned, will be on Saturday, March 3rd. All the dresses are going to be $5. So we'll post that up on Facebook as well. I think it's a wonderful wonderful thing that they do to help kids afford to go to prom and enjoy themselves at a very lovely age. That's for sure. All right. We've been talking all morning about these opportunities that exist within the unions. And we've had the opportunity this morning to talk with Joe Carone, who's with the local 265 sheet metal workers. They're at smart265.org. We also talked to Jim Coyne, the business manager at Local 130, the plumbers union. Their website is jac130.org. And then we just got done talking with Vince Sticca, who is the director coordinator for the Chicago Regional Council of Carpenters. They're at chicap.org. And joining me on the phone right now is Pat McGreal, who is the training director at Local 281 Sprinkler Fitters. Pat, good morning and welcome to WGN.
Good morning, Lou. Thanks for the opportunity.
Absolutely. We've had some nice conversations with some of your union brethren in different trades. And, you know, I think that what's interesting about all of this, and you're the final person we're going to talk to today, is that while we're going to focus on your particular union and what you do, and we did that with the others as well, but the reality of it is all of you tend to work together on these different job sites. And so it's a level of mutual respect, mutual training, and the knowledge to know that the people that are working on that job know what the heck they're doing.
Correct. And especially safety.
Right.
Safety's number one with all trades.
Talk to me a little bit about the sprinkler fitters. What's a sprinkler fitter and what do they do and how are they trained?
Well, we install, maintain, repair, inspect all types of fire extinguishing systems. Commercial, industrial, residential, we including inspection, testing, and maintenance of those systems with service work. So our bread and butter is a wet and a dry sprinkler system, but we also install the dry chemical, the foam, the mist, just to name a few.
And that's not just reserved to big, large buildings. I mean, there's a lot of residential. I mean, we... back in the late 90s and early part of 2000s, in some of the single family homes that I built, we were building 4-story homes, and the code was and still is you either needed a second staircase to get down from the top floor or sprinkle the whole house. And we used your members of your union to come in and do the sprinkler systems, which was an amazing selling point, because I think we were one of the first builders to be putting residential sprinkler systems in home back in the late 90s, and it was such a conversation piece, and the added benefit of the safety to the homeowners was amazing.
Correct. There's never been a lost life in a sprinkler building, and also the installation is gone to plastic, which is cost effective also for the homeowner.
That's great. Okay, take me through the apprentice program and what happens with the Sprinkler Fitters Union.
Well, we're similar to the others. We're a 5-year program. The first 4 attending school either once a week or once every other week, depending on what year the apprentice is in. And then they're out in the field the other time. And they're on the field their 5th year the whole time, but you're still under the guidance of the Joint Apprenticeship Committee. And the requirements are similar to others also. You know, the $20 fee, 18 years to start, high school graduate, official sealed transcripts, the pass the drug screening,
right,
for the union as a condition of employment. We are a drug-free industry.
And the common theme with all of you is that you are in need of members, right? There is the work out there and the demand for these high-paying, highly trained positions within our workforce in this realm.
Correct. And to that, we are bringing in 108 or so in the next 6 to 8 weeks.
Wow.
And they're coming off a ranked list that we generated from March. We had an application process, so they had scored 70 or higher on a test given by a third party, and then we're scored on an oral interview to be ranked.
Right. Right. So it's not just about the installation, as you mentioned, with being a pipe fitter. I mean, there's maintenance that goes on there. There's a fair amount of technology involved in some of these sprinkler systems from a maintenance perspective. So, you know, it's not just like you're screwing together pipe and making sure the water comes out.
Correct. After you leave there, We will be back there to inspect it, and someone needs to maintain these systems, correct?
Yeah, that's amazing. Now, where's your Union Hall located at?
We're in Alsip at 119th South Laramie.
Oh, nice. And so tell me how people get a hold of you and learn more about becoming a sprinkler pipe fitter with Local 281.
Well, our website is sprinklerfitterchicago.org. And our phone number is 708-597-1800. Okay. And there, when they go on the website, there is a spot for training.
And do you administer, when people, if they were going to apply to this, is it a certain time of year that you give the tests, or is it a rolling thing? How does that work?
Well, it's pretty much demand.
It's on demand, okay.
Correct. And, of course, we all know about the downturn there. We hadn't taken quite a few in some time.
Sure.
So we're starting it up now. Work looks plentiful, as all trades have been saying. And as Jim and Vince had said to, you know, apprentices, you know, this is not a, it's not a job. It is a career. You're going to spend 20, 30, 40 years of service. And so you make lifelong friends, and you have each other's back.
I remember a while ago we were down at the pipe fitters training center. I believe, I want to say it's Mokena. I might be wrong.
Correct.
Right? Is that right? And I was talking with one of their training directors, and you know, we've talked this morning about all these different opportunities, and you guys are selective. You're not just letting anybody through the door. You want to make sure, and this is the point that was made to me, which I think is really important, is that it's not a job, because your expectation when you hire a young man or woman to enter into this trade is that they're going to be a member, a working member, potentially for the next 40 years.
Correct.
And so you want to make sure that the people are coming in with the right motivation and the right people to fit into that realm, that they can really build a good, solid future with them.
Correct. And as you mentioned about the earn while you learn,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're getting paid. Ours are roughly 70% of their schooling, coming to school and getting paid for and learning the trade. So, you know, coming out of high school, it used to be, well, you're going to have to go in the trades. Well, that
right.
changed. You know, we're
right.
not. It's not the D and the F students that are coming in anymore. It's the students that like to work with their hands
yeah.
and like to make a good living and earn a good wage.
Pat McGreal is the training director with Local 281 Sprinkler Fitters. You can learn more about their union and training program and apprentice program at sprinklerfitterchicago.org. Pat, thanks so much for joining us this morning. Good luck to you.
Thank you, Lou. Love the show.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. It's 9:49 in the morning. We'll be right back.
So long, farewell. I'll be to say adieu.
Adieu, adieu. To you and you and you.
Lou's Last Call, sponsored by Townstone Financial. And our last caller is Sylvia in Mokena. Hi, Sylvia.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks for calling. How can I help you?
I saw in a magazine a couple years ago about filters for the heat vents, and I thought, why not just try using the Swiffer dust filter, you know, dust cloths? So I put those in, and every periodically I change them, and they're gray. They turn gray from the dust in that.
Yeah.
Oh, come October, November, we turned our fan on our furnace to be on at all times.
Yeah.
I was shocked. These filter things were black.
Yeah.
Even our filter out of our furnace is black. We kept it to show the furnace guy that we have to show him what it looked like.
Mm.
So I was wondering, should I get my vent, you know, the metal, sheet metal stuff cleaned?
Yeah, no, I think I would, but I also worry about the Swiffer as a, you know, the Swiffer is treated with something. And so there is a, I know it's breathable. It's an interesting application. I mean, I'd have to look at it more closely for something like this. But I wonder if you're adding too much back pressure on your furnace by doing that.
I don't know. I know I don't have to dust as often.
Well, yeah, no, I understand that. But the thing is that the filters that you can put on your vents, there's a thing called a MERV rating, which is the resistance and the flow. And so the, you know, furnaces and comfort and everything that comes to your home is all about is about flow. And so if you resist it too much, it can cause problems where the furnace can overheat. But I am a big fan of getting ducts clean.
Okay, because I have a...
And I would definitely do that. And then, you know, consider doing like a pleated filter to really grab a lot of dust and debris on there, you know, and change it regularly. And I'm not opposed to the vents filters. I'm going to look at that Swiffer thing, and I'll get back to you next week. Thanks so much for the phone call.